I suppose we have some traveling and some sick, some not here, other reasons. I know a lot of the Kramer clan down in California. For those of you who may not have been in our class lately, since January, we have been having what we call, for a better term, an open forum, in which we have been discussing different subjects, some of which I, at first, in the first classes brought up, and then some which some in the class have brought up. Subjects that we look at to see where do we find in God's Word that that's what we do to be pleasing to God. Subjects that we may have questions about as to what we practice in that area or whatever area it might be that we're talking about. And before we look at, if you have anything to say about what we talked about last week and the week before we do that, I want to get some things before you about future classes, because I don't want to wait till the last minute and then run out of time. And hopefully if there's anyone that else comes in, we can fill them in on it. We've looked at a number of subjects, why we assemble, why there is assembling of the saints. We looked at partaking of the Lord's Supper and what is involved in partaking of the Lord's Supper. And to a certain extent, along with that, on the first day of the week, the giving of our means. We looked at the silence of the Scripture, and we looked at, let's see, what else? Instrumental music, along with the silence of the Scripture, kind of a discussion that went together, goes together. And depending on your discussion and your input today, we'll go on to something else next week. And so my first question is, do any of you have anything that you would like to discuss next week or the next week and so on? As I indicated last week, we probably, if not before, will finish up this open forum type by the end, class by the end of April. Maybe before, but it depends on what the class wants. While you're thinking about what you would like to discuss for next week, if there's anything that we need to discuss for next week, if you were here at the congregational meeting last week, it was brought up that a study of the life of Christ might be interesting. And so we'd like your feedback on that. Study of the life of Christ, particularly from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is sometimes a letter that is a little set apart in some senses from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, although all four of them are called the Gospels. And of course, John doesn't look at the life of Christ in the same way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. His emphasis is upon the Word, the Son, the Messiah, in the sense that he is eternal, etc. So usually, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. You tell me what that means, and then I'll know. But looking at the life of Christ in a chronological order, the first four books of the New Testament are not necessarily in chronological, the events are not necessarily in chronological order. And that's a proposal. If you would like for us to study something else, let us know. Ward, you got your hand up.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to add Christ in prophecy and the gospel, because the gospel tells
That's a good point. Although as we study Matthew particularly, but also all three of those first books, it'll come up, prophecy will come up. And we'll certainly, when it does, we'll see the force of fulfilled prophecy as we study it in the life of Christ. In fact, Jesus said one time as he went into a synagogue and he read the scripture, he stood up, read the scripture from the scroll and sat down, and he said, "Today this has been fulfilled." You remember that one? So that's one. It might be good to study prophecy by itself, fulfilled prophecy by itself. But I'm not of a mind to do that except as it comes up in the life of Christ. That would be a good study, just prophecy fulfilled. But somebody else can teach that. I'll teach the life of Christ. But anyway, it's a good suggestion, Ward, and it will come up if we study, quote, the life of Christ. So if you have other thoughts that you would like to look at or other studies you would like to look at after we finish this open forum type of deal, well, let us know. Now, it's also mentioned, and I don't know if the other fellows received any feedback from this, but it was also mentioned that we have a class that lasts for an hour. I know that some of us can't sit very long. And 45 minutes is long enough probably for some of us, and that's fine. If what was suggested is we start at 9:30 and quit at 10:30. We've been starting at, as our usual way, we've been starting at 9:35 and quit at 9:15. That's not even 45 minutes. But usually I wait for the latecomers to come in, and they come in at 9:35. Not you two. That's the first time. That's the first time I've ever seen you come in. But there are others that inevitably they come in at 9:35. And so I've waited. So anyway, give us your feedback on that as to whether we and I think one reason it was brought up is because 40 minutes, you barely get started sometimes, and you have to stop. And so maybe in an hour, again, voice your thoughts if that's too long for you, or you want it longer. Can't imagine that, but anyway, start at 9:30, go to 10:30, and then start our other period of worship at 10:45. That's simply a thought. And it's not anything that we've got to do or not do. But I wanted to let you know that. That was discussed mentioned in the congregational meeting last week, and some of you were not here to hear that. Okay, I thought of one other thing on the way over here today, and I didn't write it down while I was driving, and now I don't know what it is, so maybe it'll come to mind. Anything that you would like to ask about what we just said? Or a comment about? If you have a preference as to what we study after this series, or this open forum, Life of Christ, or anything else, okay? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And if we study the life of Christ or anything else, I do hope we will continue to elicit comments and questions. Because the class is yours and not mine or whoever the teacher is. And if, for instance, I help with the Life of Christ study, I'd have material to pass out, and we'd discuss that. Some of you may have questions in it to look at before we come to class and so on. But be that as it may, that's a good point. And I think we've tried to do that some some things elicit a different type of approach than others. Ted, and then over here. Well, I understand your point. I think it may be when we're discussing things like we have been for the last 3 months, we're studying the Bible because we're trying to look and see what the Bible says. Whether you call it a Bible study or whether you call it a Bible class, I don't think it makes any difference. If the class is for each one of us and we discuss the scriptures, that's important. Okay, somebody had their hand up, Laverne. Okay. Your remarks are seconded, Kay. Paul.
You still planning on touching on the fasting?
Of what?
Fasting.
No, that was in that other material. We can do that. We'll have to hand that material out again. but we did, as Paul points out, what he's talking about is we had we had some material that had three different subjects in it, and I don't think this is the last one we had, but anyway, the last sheet that we had on that study was here it is. It was giving, praying, and fasting, and because of the time when we wanted to start this open forum in 1st of January, we had gotten through giving and praying, but not fasting. If we want to look at that, it wouldn't take very long. Perhaps, maybe it would. Yeah, there's four pages in this on fasting. Anyway. We need to make sure everybody has a copy of that and hand it out for the next time, because you probably lost your copy and don't know where it is. Gail. If everyone didn't hear, Gail suggests conflicts with other Christians. We may need to narrow that down as to what we mean with that, but that's, if we take it up, we'll do that. And the other, if I understood, was what to expect to see when we get to heaven. Two words. Three words. The glorious majesty of God. Five words. That's all I know about it. Read the first chapter of Revelation. It gives the throne scene there. We can discuss that if that's what the class would like to do. Anything else? Megan. Yeah, the life of Christ, or really any other class that we have, any other study that we have, as in the past, would be more structured than what we have here, because we've just did a subject and then it's opened up for anybody to say anything, and that's all right. That's been good, and a lot of people have indicated that they appreciate it. If we studied the life of Christ, kind of in our formative plans right now, we would have. As I said, the three books would be what's the word? Interspersed with each other. We wouldn't study Matthew and then Mark and then Luke. We'd study all three of them together. And we just almost have to have something on paper that's structured, so to speak, to guide us in our study so that we'd know what we'll be talking about next time. Yes? I can't see what... Pardon me? The Harmony of the Gospels, yes, by J.W. McGarvey. Is that... That's not by J.W. McGarvey. Okay, there are several... Yeah, there are several books that men have written. J.W. McGarvey did one. I can't think of the title of it right now, but it sounded like Harmony of the Gospel anyway, which are fine. I don't know if we'll study or follow that book like he wrote, and there are others besides them. Ephelgard Smith put together what he called the narrated Bible in chronological order. And when he did that, he took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so on, and whenever something happened in one, he had the scripture, not necessarily from Matthew, but from Mark or Luke or whatever. So there's several ways of doing it, and so that's a possibility. As to an hour-long class, let us know. And if you don't like it, you make sure you don't like it and tell us. But if you do, tell us that as well. It's another means of getting more into a class. And I am not necessarily for it. I understand the reason for it. But if we can go for it, I'll go for it. So this is the last Sunday of March. How many Sundays in April? Four? How about we take Gail's suggestion, conflicts with other Christians, as a discussion next week, if we don't have to hold over whatever we're saying today, and I don't expect it and don't really desire to do it, but that's your doing. If you want to, we will. Conflicts with other Christians. For next week, could we narrow that down? What do we mean by conflicts with other Christians? Are we talking about when we disagree on a biblical subject, or when we have conflicts because, he's just the most pessimistic person I've ever seen, and he doesn't have any joy? Is that what we're looking at? Okay, which would be a little bit of takeoff from what we were talking about last week. So anyway, so conflicts mainly, as I understand it, when we're talking about scripture, one person says this, another person says they disagree, and how do we take care of that conflict? Did that ever happen in the Bible? Give me an example. 15th chapter of Acts. Did somebody say something else? Romans 14. Why don't you just say 1 Corinthians? All, yes, there's another example of two individuals. It was over... It was a conflict, and it was over, I can't think of the word, I will think of it in a minute. You have your hand up, Dorothy? You're just holding it like that, okay. I see what you... Sometimes people, you know, they hold their hand up like this, and that's what... Okay, Ward?
Another example would be the two men in the morning that
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians. That's when I said that. And then the conflict between brothers going to court with each other. Conflict, and so on. All right. Yep. As we said, 1 Corinthians, period. Ted. Yep. On what?
On the crucifixion.
Anybody disagree with the crucifixion? Yes, Book of John, and of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whatever they might cover on it. This class has been, from the beginning, why we do what we do. And the crucifixion doesn't, as far as I know, kind of come under that general statement. We will study it if we study the life of Christ, certainly. We'll talk about the crucifixion and what happened and so on. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it doesn't, in my mind, doesn't follow under why we do what we do, because we weren't crucified.
Well, I'm talking about counting, but I'm wondering if it's one type of word right
now. What?
You're talking about what we're done with, why we do what we do.
I didn't understand that.
Well, that's why I was
trying. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Last week and the week before, we talked about instrumental music. We handed out one sheet that the fellow sitting here in class, whose name was West Adams. That was the sheet that we handed out. He wasn't here. In which he understands the scripture to teach that we do not use instrumental music in our worship. And then last week, we handed out another one. And Al Maxey was sitting here. That was his sheet, and which he specifically, not talking just about instrumental music, but he was talking about silence of the scripture and specificity. Hey, I almost said that right, didn't I? Whew. I can't say it again. And so we wanted you to read, of course, both of them, but there's two different viewpoints so far as silence is concerned. And to me, Al Maxey's, the one we had last week, was much more difficult to understand. That's me. May not have been you. And if you have anything you would like to talk about either one of those, we'll bring them up, bring it up, and we'll spend the rest of our time doing that. Other than that, I'm not going to present anything other than comment with you. Go ahead, Ward, and then I'll say what I was about to say.
Okay. That sheet I found interesting in this respect, that when he, for instance, in Rahab and Abihu, he listed all the other sins that they committed as though that were the that God said because they offered the same fire.
And his example of Nadab and Abihu, and yet, help me understand, Maxey, if I'm not understanding. He said there was specificity there. It was specific.
Well, that was the early tool.
That was what? I remember vaguely that he mentions others, but I didn't understand that the other sins that they may have committed was involved in the specificity of the fire that God had told them to use. I understand what you're saying, but I didn't get that the other sins were connected with the strange fire necessarily. They committed other sins, but what they did was they sinned in God in offering fire that was not authorized. He specified where the fire came from. It was to be fire that was continually burning. They burned incense and so forth, and that's where you're to get that fire. And they didn't do that. It was unauthorized fire, if you want to put it that way. That's what I understood Maxie was saying. I don't want to argue about Maxie did this and Maxie did that, but I want to understand what he's saying as far as silence. He's saying you cannot argue from silence of the Scripture. That's what he's saying. In relation to instrumental music is the background of that article. Okay. Let me see if I can rephrase or repeat what you said. The silence of the Scriptures is used by some to do other things than what is specified. Okay, hold that thought, and I'll come back to it afterwards. It does and it doesn't. Paul said not to go beyond this, what is written. That's true of any subject, of course. But then it was written, you get this far from here. And they went beyond that. We can say more about that, but before I forget what Kay said, are there times when we do something, practice something, have something, however you want to put it, and the Scriptures didn't say anything about it? Now, don't answer me yet. I'll give you an illustration. And when I give you this illustration, are we doing something wrong because it is not mentioned? You're sitting in pews that have songbooks in the front of you. Never a word about songbooks. And yet we maybe you don't, maybe not everybody, understand it's scriptural to use a songbook. That's, in other words, there are some things. Now lights, they had lights in the upper room, so that's good. No. Kelly, go ahead.
When you're told in the Scriptures, and this is where silence, I think, takes judgment and discernment, because the only reading I could see in the New Testament about singing was singing praises, singing to God, my question would be, God appears to be silent about singing any other kind of music, and yet all of us in this room have probably done that.
Done what?
Singing country music, singing any other kind of music than what I see we're told to sing.
In the worship?
I don't see that singing necessary. Are Ephesians and Colossians strictly speaking about our time of worship together?
No, I didn't ask it that way. You said you didn't see anything about country music, so I'm going to sing.
I'm talking about singing. I don't see that the singing in the New Testament is always confined to our worship time together. It's also, you know, like if anyone's happy, then we sing praise.
Okay, now, yeah.
So I'm asking, do we have authority to sing any other kind of music than praise to God?
Secular music, okay, we'll use that term. So let me. I'm struggling to get the in my words. Give me a good old country song title.
Home on the Range.
Would it be all right for us to sing "Home on the Range" and when we sing in our worship to God? Not necessarily here. I understand Kelly's pointing that out. Anytime we worship God, can we sing "Home on the Range"? I'm out in the yard doing my garden work and singing Home on the Range. Is that all right? Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking that. Is that where would we, God doesn't seem to say anything about singing any other kind of music. So is that specified or is it silent? Is it communal? I'm actually asking.
I think, let me see if this answers her question. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to one another with your heart unto God. I'm out there in the garden. I'm not singing to anybody. I'm not singing to just myself. Am I wrong singing Home on the Range? Or why can't I do that? Does that kind of help your question?
Well,
am I missing it? I didn't have anything in the world in mind about congregational. I just said sing. And that's right. That Ephesians and Colossians don't say anything in the world about meeting together in a, quote, worship period of time like we're doing this morning later. I don't remember a passage. He probably did. He played the harp and sang with Saul. But I don't know what he sang, other than the Psalms in the book of Psalms. Is that a case where I sing Home on the Range? It's fine because I don't know what I can illustrate it with. Mary? There's a lot of songs we cannot sing because of the words. And I'm not talking about worship. I'm not talking about praising God. I'm not talking about edifying Christians. I'm talking about period. Some of the stuff you hear on the radio or on television, the words in it are revolting. We can't sing those. Nobody questions that, probably.
I don't want to leave anybody in doubt. I think that singing secular songs is fine. But I think we do need to recognize that discernment and judgment comes in because God never told psalms and spiritual songs and in other places praises. He is silent about secular music, and yet everybody in this room is sitting here thinking there's nothing wrong with that.
Connecting it with praising God, connecting it with edifying one another. What else could I add to that? Are the only places that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs should be used? No? Let me go ahead. Okay, let me rephrase that. If you're going to edify one another, build each other up, as Ephesians says, if you're going to praise God, then psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are the songs that you use to do that. Laverne?
It sounds to me that we need to define spiritual songs. And also, you made me think of my mother's funeral. We had marvelous singing at her funeral, and it was very uplifting, but it was not a worship service.
Okay, let me stop right there. I don't think any of us think that a psalms, hymn, spiritual song must be in a worship, quote, service. I can sing God is alive out there in my garden. Spiritual songs, definition of that is not secular. What secular song has nothing to do with spiritual matters? Anything in the biblical realm, if you don't put it that way. Mary. You mean out there in the garden, I'm reverencing God?
Are you edifying one another?
Edifying myself. Mary's hit upon the thought that yes, everything we do, it's Romans 12 chapter, is our reasonable service to God. If I'm out there in the garden weeding those weeds and I'm out there cursing, that's not glorifying God, is it? So our life should be, as Romans 12 says. I'm still wrestling with Kelly's comment and question. Go ahead, Brian.
Individual versus collective might be an aspect of it.
James, when it says that you're having the same phrases, that's
idle. I think we don't. We understand the difference in the individual doing something and the collective group doing something. My understanding is whether it's one or the other, it doesn't matter. When you sing praises to God or when you do something that is singing hymns, spiritual songs, that's what you do. But if I understand Kelly's thought, then can I sing Home on the Range out there in the garden? Why not? Or why? Larry?
Several years ago, when my sister was missing up on South Mountain, they had a vigil down on Old 99, and they had candles lit up and down on Old 99. Mm-hmm. And this woman from Concord, she had a beautiful voice. And she got up and sang Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. And the hair on the back of my neck was stood up. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing.
Amazing, amazing grace. Yeah. Yes, Jeff. First Corinthians 10:23. That probably would come into play. Not all things edify. Probably my singing Home on the Range would not edify anybody if you heard me out there in the garden singing that. All things are lawful that are lawful. Mary. Can we sing that? Who's leading singing that today? Brian, will you lead us and tie the old yellow ribbon around the tree today?
Not on his list.
That's, quote, a secular song.
Non-spiritual.
Now, I know, as Mary said, it can, you know, depending on who you are and what you're feeling, it can make tingle in your neck and so on, but that doesn't necessarily, that's not the criteria as to whether or not it's a song that's pleasing to God. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But again, that gets into another realm, perhaps. We're going to have to wrap it up here in a minute. Ted, and then Kay has her hand up, and then Dawn. I might be able to sing those in corporate worship, but not everybody would, so I wouldn't lead them. It was Kay was next. Good scripture. One thing about silence, we try to illustrate with the song books, and we had it one time on the board here, expediency. Anything that we call an expediency must first of all be proper in God's sight. A song book is a means of everyone knowing the song. We're going to sing songs with words. We're all going to have to memorize them. We're all going to have them on a sheet of paper or whatever. And it's the same thing with the building. It's the same thing with the lights. It's the same thing with other things that are not specifically mentioned. But I can't murder somebody and say I'm pleasing God. That wasn't a good illustration because murder's condemned anyway. What? Yes, inherently wrong. That's a good word. So what I'm saying is there are some things that it might be silent about as far as specifically being mentioned. There is specific mention and there's general mention of something. And under the general teaching to assemble together comes the place to meet. It can be here, upper room, down by the seashore, out in the temple, around Jerusalem as they did in Acts, the second chapter, etc. So there are some things that come under the realm of general authority that may not be specifically mentioned, but they are scriptural in the sense that it helps carry out the whatever it is that you're doing. Don next, and then Kelly, if we have time. In other words, my singing Home on the Range out in my garden doesn't affect my salvation. Is that kind of what? I kind of think what I understand what you're getting at is that when I'm at home or in the garden singing Home on the Range, I'm not expecting God to receive that as worship to Him. When I'm at home and I say how great God is, I'm worshiping God. If I'm doing it from the heart, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Kelly.
Well, we used to have spring fling, and we sang all sorts of songs that were spiritual, and we were pretty much gathered as a church. But as to this, the reason I brought it up is that God is silent about singing any other kind of music, and we need to recognize that, and it doesn't violate our consciences, although I have met some homeschooling families that will not sing anything other than praise music because of that. One man's aid is another man's addition. I mean, I've met people who sing this like song. So there's got to be some discernment and conscience within this subject.
Brian, did you have your hand up? No more hands. Thank you very much. Next week we will. No more comments. No questions. Our study next week is conflicts with other Christians. And there's one conflict right there. No.